In the name of Jesus, amen. The Old Testament reading is a basis for the sermon on this Lord's Day. If a person has a choice between something that's obviously good and something that's obviously bad, we would say, well, it's kind of a no-brainer. Don't really have to think about that much. But something's obviously good, something's obviously bad, you have a choice, you go with that which is obviously good. That's the position the people of Israel found themselves in. They are on the verge of entering the promised land. They have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, 40 long years, because of their stubbornness and their refusal to hear God's word. And now they're about ready to enter the promised land, cross the Jordan River, make that final push. And God has Moses review with them the covenant that he was making with them one more time. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, and are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, that you may dwell in the land the Lord your God swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That's the choice, life or death, blessing or curse. Doesn't seem like much of a choice. But we know from the Old Testament that the people of Israel often struggled to make the right choice. God offers them good, and they often chose that which was not good. And when you hear even that reading from Deuteronomy, you get the sense that maybe even Moses kind of had a feeling that, yeah, they're going to struggle with this, because he actually has to urge them to choose the good when it seems like it would be kind of an obvious choice. It's not a new story. Bad choices can get dressed up to look pretty good. You have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They're in the Garden of Eden, and it's perfect. Life was perfect in every way. They were perfect. Everything around them was perfect. God gave them direction. They followed it. Life was good. And then the serpent shows up and encourages them to make the choice to disobey God. And God had told them. God had told them, if you disobey me, that's going to result in death. That's not a good choice. The serpent is able to offer them such an attractive choice that they choose it. Eve saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Even though she's surrounded by perfect orchards and fruit trees, even though she's as smart as she will ever be, the serpent makes the bad choice sound even better. That's really good marketing. The devil is excellent at marketing. Eve chooses to make a bad choice. Then she gives some of the fruit to Adam, who is with her, and he makes a bad choice. They chose to disobey God. They chose to end their perfect life. They chose death. They chose that. Now, we would like to think, well, you know, I wouldn't have done that. I would have made a better choice. I wouldn't have made a bad choice. We overestimate our ability to make good choices. We all have our struggles, and we all have a history of making bad choices. Bad choices are often marketed very well. Some easy examples. Gambling. You've seen the commercials. You've seen the advertisements. You know, if you gamble, that's a great way to make some extra money. You've seen the advertising. Everybody wins. you know, wow. And you don't have to work for it. Just play the machines and, you know, everybody looks happy. Everybody's having a great time. You come out with more money than you went in with. That's the way it looks. But that's not the way it works. At the end of the day, the house always wins. If you're looking for a way to make extra money, trying to make it by gambling is not a good choice. You can look up how much is spent on virtual gambling machines here in the state of Illinois. Did a little homework. In 2024, in Streeter, $8 million was lost on virtual gambling machines. Over $8 million was lost. And that's just on the that's just the video gaming. That's just video gaming. That's just in a 12-month period. Like that's a lot of money. Gambling is not a good return if you're looking for a way to spend your money to make more money. And now that we have legalized sports betting, we're going to see a lot more of destroyed lives. It's way too easy for people to lose their money. More easy pickings. Pornography. Pornography is rampant. Some of you are troubled by that, and you are not alone. And don't let it make you feel isolated, and don't let it make you feel like you're beyond help, because Jesus is more powerful than anything. But I've never heard anybody say, "Oh, pornography has made my life better. I am a better person having spent time watching pornography," because it doesn't do that. It isolates people. It makes people feel ashamed. It's not real. But the amount of time and money that is spent and wasted is incredible. It's not a good choice. It ruins marriages and relationships, and it makes people feel bad about themselves and ashamed. So then why would people do that? Because it looks really attractive. It looks good. Those are a couple obvious examples. We are often better at making bad choices than we realize. And it's never that obvious. It's always kind of disguised. There's not a lot of drama around it. It's subtle. Perhaps we think, well, you know, no one's even going to notice. Bad choices can be dressed up to look pretty good, and we are attracted to them. You might say, well, you know, I'm smarter than that. Be careful. Be careful. Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Not only do bad choices often seem good and hard to recognize and attractive, but to make it even more troubling, good choices can sometimes be hard to recognize. God in his wisdom, which confounds us, offers us life, but he offers us life in the shape of a cross. That doesn't look good. Crosses kill. Crosses are pictures of death. But that is how God chooses to work. To choose life is to choose the cross. Now that doesn't make any sense. No, you know, no wonder Jesus had to urge his followers to take up their cross and follow him, because it's not a choice anybody would make naturally. It's not a choice that sells itself. It's not a choice that looks attractive, like bad choices. Crosses do what crosses do. They kill. A cross brings an end to what I'm going to do and make of my life, how I'm going to preserve all that I have and what I think is important. The cross puts an end to all of that. And that is where discipleship begins. So to choose life, to follow Jesus, is to choose death to self and death to self-promotion. God expects much from those who would choose his life. Jesus expects much from those who would choose his life. That choice is not one that's obvious, it's not natural, and it's not pleasant. Given that truth, one has to wonder, would anybody choose the cross? Does anyone choose the cross? Jesus did, knowing all that it entailed, knowing all the humiliation that it would bring. He did that out of obedience to his Father, who had made his choice to save his people. People of Israel, they did not choose God. God chose them. And he didn't choose them because they were the most powerful nation or the biggest nation or the most devout and obedient nation. Nope, he just chose them. So as they were on the verge of entering the promised land, God had already chosen them. The only choice that they had to make was, are we going to live in that choice or are we going to reject it? It didn't matter whether they wanted God to choose them or not. God had made his choice. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. And it doesn't matter whether you want him to or not. He has chosen you. And that is a truth that you cannot erase. That is a truth that stands. He has made your heart beat, and even more, he has given you life and forgiveness in Christ. The only choice that you can make is, oh, I don't want to live in being a chosen child of God. That's a choice you can make. You can reject the choice that God has already chosen you. You can reject that. But when you live in the reality, oh wait, God has chosen me. That means you don't have to search for an identity. You are given one in Christ. You don't have to work to please God. God loves and forgives you in Christ. Being chosen in God sets you free, and that actually helps you to make good choices. Good choices that may not seem at first to be good. God leads you into that by choosing you. And that's where we find that when we give up ourselves, we actually find ourselves. When we lose ourselves in Christ, we discover ourselves. When we take up our cross and follow, which means death, we actually find, oh, there is life. Life that never ends, given to you freely in Christ. Choose the cross. Choose life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.